This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word HOWWEDEAL. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
No, in fact, President Trump used the words peaceful when he talked about, the statements that he made. I haven't heard Maxine saying anything about peacefully protesting.
If you riot, if you loot, if you harm others, particularly if you harm a law enforcement officer during one of these violent assemblies, you're going to jail.
I've got a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
They're doing things to this country that Bernie Sanders would have said impossible. And I don't know if Joe knows what's going on with it, because I think you have a cabal. You have a group of people that are sitting around a table just saying, do this, do this, do this, and giving them these things to sign.
Who leads Atlantis off the maps?
Who keeps the Martians under wraps?
We do.
Swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
The verdict is in Minneapolis in the Derek Chauvin trial. He's the police officer who's accused of various counts of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd last year. And the jury didn't take long to reach a verdict, and we'll have it for you live when it's delivered. It's supposed to be around 4:30 this afternoon Eastern time, and but you know they seldom come in at the exact time they plan. So we're still planning to interview Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, at 4:30, and that goes forward, and we'll take your calls. Open up the lines, 844-500-4242. But I do want to get to a couple of things here before we get enveloped in the Chauvin trial verdict. And yesterday we were playing some cuts from Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, the sanctimonious smug governor who's done such a lousy job with her state. And she's had all these lockdowns and the COVID panic will not end. And she was on Sunday, she was blaming Florida for the spread of the COVID-19 again, in saying that the snowbirds were coming back. Well, let's just listen to what she had to say. Cut 21.
Michigan and Florida are not next to each other, but this is the time of the year that snowbirds come home from Florida, where people are going on spring break, and all of these things can contribute to spread. And that's why we're imploring people to take this seriously, mask up, get tested. If you've been around someone who's positive, stay home.
Okay, so it's the snowbirds from Florida that are causing the uptick in Michigan. And so it just turned out last week that two of her top aides, one of whom at least had issued a directive to the residents of the great state of Michigan to stay home and not leave the state, and had then jetted off to Florida and posted on social media some pictures. Why did they do that? Talk about chutzpah. You know, you put out a press release on behalf of the entire state, and then the next thing you put out on social media is a picture of yourself in a bathing suit with your family in Sarasota, which is what she did. And so the governor was asked about all these people who were doing not what they told everybody else to do, but what they wanted to do. Cut 20.
What directors do on their personal time is their business, so long as they are safe, which is what we're asking everyone in the state to do. Get vaccinated. Mask up.
Cut 19.
First and foremost, let me say this. I'm not going to get distracted by partisan hit jobs on my team. There have never been travel restrictions in Michigan. There just haven't been. What we have done is to ask people to be smart, to get vaccinated, to mask up.
Well, guess what happened after she went on national TV and talked about the snowbirds from Florida bringing everything back? Somebody leaked the news that guess who else from the state of Michigan has been down in Florida, here in Palm Beach County, as a matter of fact, where I'm broadcasting from now, visiting her dad. Who do you think, Taylor?
Would it be a one Governor Gretchen Whitmer?
It would indeed be Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Yes. She, all the trips, this is what her spokesman said, all the trips were very brief. Very brief. Haven't we been told over and over again that even if you take the mask off for a few seconds, you could still spread it? It doesn't matter how brief it is. It's the thought that counts. 2 full days or less closely followed public health guidelines and were made by when Michigan's daily positivity rate was in the low single digits. But then she brought back the virus to Michigan and spread it. It was a super spreader event. A super spreader event. And so one of the leaders, one of the Republican leaders of the Michigan House of Representatives said, I understand the desire to visit an ill relative, that's her father, and I hope for good health for the governor's family, but I've heard countless stories of heartbroken Michigan nerds who wanted to visit sick family members during this pandemic and haven't been able to do so. I don't understand how the governor thinks it's okay for her and top minions in her administration to travel out of state while issuing recommendations to the rest of us that we stay home. Do as we say, not as we do. Representative Albert of Lowell, Michigan, you know that. Jeannie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jeannie.
Hi, I'm from Minnesota. I live about 10 miles from the Brooklyn Center Police Station. And in Minnesota here, we're just kind of getting ready. It doesn't matter if Chauvin is found guilty or if he's acquitted, they're going to riot. And the pastor of my church, who's black, actually went down for a couple of days to the Brooklyn Center Police Station to see what was going on. And he said the media keeps showing that all these protesters are black. He said the majority of them are white kids, like in their early 20s, you know, right. And they're all dressed the same. And it's just, I'm just so tired of it. It's like, what happened to my nice, beautiful Minnesota? It's like, I don't want to live here anymore. I want to move.
What do your neighbors feel? Do they feel the same way?
Yeah. They're like, why are we here? It's such a liberal state. And what's Maxine Waters doing? Why was she down here other than to just cause problems? I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I just want to move.
What do you think of Biden today saying that he was praying for a guilty verdict?
He was praying for a guilty verdict? Who was?
Yeah, you haven't heard that? Yes, he said that. He did. And you know, it wasn't like it was a shouted question as he was walking out the door to Marine One. He just came out and said, I'm praying for a guilty verdict.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Are you making any preparations, Jeannie? You're kind of far from the center of the action for this trial anyway. You think there's going to be trouble in Brooklyn Center tonight?
Yeah, a lot. I'm about 10 miles from there, but they're already boarding up, you know, the Targets, the Sam's Clubs, the Walmarts. I'm actually going to pack, and I'm going to leave tonight or tomorrow morning and go to Iowa.
Do you have to go through any of the rough sections to get to Iowa south of where you are, right? Or are you going to just go west and then head south?
No, I have a roundabout way I can go, and so I'll miss all that action.
How pitiful is it? Minneapolis-St. Paul was one of the jewels of American metropolitan centers, and now to get out of the state, you're having to detour around it because of the fact that it's going to be, in Riot Central.
Right, and I don't know what's going to happen. Like 35W is a main freeway, but when after Trump was elected, they just walked out on the freeway and stopped all the traffic. So are they going to do that as well? I don't know. I just want to get out of town. I know that sounds really sad, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I feel bad for you, Jeannie, and I appreciate you listening to the show too. And keep listening to the show wherever you are. And I hope things work out for you and all of your neighbors. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. Gary, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, Howie, this Governor Whitmore, quick stays. I mean, I thought they're supposed to, like, if you go to another state, you're supposed to, like, self-quarantine yourself for whatever,
right,
5 or 10 days. And, Howie, do you think if Governor Whitmore came here to Massachusetts, that Charlie Faker or Karen Polito, if they found out that she didn't self-quarantine for how many days is it?
I think in Massachusetts, didn't they relax that because nobody was self-quarantining? That it's just, it was kind of one of these pointless things like trying to contact trace people, you know, and you had to check in at a bar or a restaurant when you had dinner there. And it was just absurd. It was a killer. The point is that she's ripping Florida as being this petri dish of infections, even though they have a lower death rate than Michigan or most of the other larger states in the union. And then it turns out that she's not even honest enough to say that, yeah, I went to Florida myself. I mean, shouldn't she have said that, Gary? I mean, just as a matter of full disclosure to the voters of Michigan and the people who are watching on national TV? I would think so. What a hypocrite.
Yeah, Howie, but one thing you're missing, Howie, is, you know, Governor Data, as he always says, this is serious business. So I really think Charlie Faker, if she comes to Massachusetts, should be issued a $500 ticket. Maybe Faker can write out the ticket and Polito can go deliver it.
That's true. She could, yeah. Or maybe she can invite Polito to one of her keggers out on the Lake Quinsigamond in Worcester County, and she can just hand deliver it right there while she pours her a draft beer, too. Thanks for the call, Gary. 844-500-4242. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you are missing out. I got them in my hand right here. These things are fantastic. You eat two a day. I have one when I wake up in the morning before I go out for my daily exercise, and then I have one. I'm going to have one right now as soon as I finish the spot. It's great. It gives you a burst of energy. It tastes like candy. It looks like candy. It's wrapped in foil, but it's good for you. That's the difference between Super Beats Heart Chews and candy. Super Beats Heart Chews are great for your heart health, for your blood pressure, for your circulation, because they combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery side effects of caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. It's a great product. I take, like I said, I take one and I just get an immediate burst of energy. It keeps me going throughout the morning and then throughout the day. You're going to really, really like having these in your pocket when you leave for work or wherever you go in the morning. Do what I did and support your health, heart health today with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. When you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third one for free. It'll keep you going for a long, good long time. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
He regretted to his dying day, if ever he lives that long.
Howie Carr is back.
So I guess we missed 420 for the August yearly celebration, but hey, that's okay. Forget grocery store crowds. Choose from over 25 chef-created recipes every week with HelloFresh. You'll get a box on your doorstep filled with fresh, pre-portioned ingredients that, in as little as 20 minutes, will become delicious meals. Get 12 free meals, including free shipping, with code HOWIE12 at HelloFresh.com/Howie12. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should marijuana be legalized nationally or should it be left to the states?
It should be left to the states. Most things should be left to the states.
86% say leave it to the states.
All right. 844-500-4242. Again, we await the verdict in Minneapolis on Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer who had his knee or foot on the neck of George Floyd when he died. Didn't kill him, though, according to the medical examiner's report. 844-500-4242. Kathy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
Just want to say, I really can't understand Maxine Waters flying all the way out there to basically send threatening messages to the jury, and the president commenting as well. It's like, let the jury do their job, because these people are feeling pressured as it is, but to come out and say there's going to be violence and riots if they don't get their way is intimidation, and I don't think that's right.
It is. And the judge said that the defense may have good grounds for an appeal to get the verdict thrown out if it comes back guilty, which I think most of us figure it's going to come back guilty, especially this quickly. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, the standards have changed. Politicians used to preemptorily state that someone was guilty. I mean, even as recently as Barack Obama talking about the Cambridge police acting stupidly, he took a lot of crap for that. Is Joe Biden taking any heat today from the lapdogs in the national media? No, of course not. 844-500-4242. Dave, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Howie. First-time caller. However, I did meet you in Leominster, where you signed my book. I appreciate that.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I enjoyed meeting you. I really did. I'd like to expand on what Kathy just said about jury intimidation. Would it have been within the judge's authority to claim that Maxine was, in fact, intimidating his jury and order her arrested?
No. No, I don't think he had any right to. I don't think he had any authority to arrest her. And by the time it came up before the court late yesterday afternoon, she was long since back in Washington, D.C. And let's not forget, too, that, before she flew out to Minnesota to fan the flames of the trial and the racial unrest out there, she asked for and received a Capitol Police escort. So she's going out there to basically denounce the police or police actions, and she's while under the protection of her own police. It's rather breathtaking, the hypocrisy here. But it's nothing new. And then, of course, today she's defended, or was even yesterday she was defended by Nancy Pelosi and all the and Don Lemon from CNN and all the usual suspects at the White House press corps, so-called, saying that, oh, no, this is not a problem. No. She didn't really stir up an insurrection. She wasn't fomenting an insurrection. I love that word, foment. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie, I'm disappointed that more people haven't discussed what if there's no possibility of a fair trial? There's so much intimidation by BLM and others all over this country that I think the possibility of a fair trial might be nil. And secondly, I'd like to ask you personally, if you were a juror, wouldn't you, even if you believed Chauvin was innocent, wouldn't you be frightened for your own physical safety? If you voted for an innocent verdict?
Wouldn't you?
I definitely would, Howie.
I would have done, if they had pulled me into that jury pool, I would have done anything I had to do to get out from having to be on that jury. Wouldn't you?
Well, I would say that I would be afraid to vote for innocent or not guilty, because I would be afraid that I would be attacked, that my house would be attacked, that I would lose my job.
Look what they did to one of the defense witnesses who lives out in California. They went to his house, and they found out his address, and they put a severed pig's head on a pike in front of his house. I mean, this guy was a witness, and he lived in California. It's pretty scary, Steve. You're right. I mean, the intimidation is pretty unprecedented, at least in modern times. Barbara, you're next with Howie Carr. No time. When we come back, we're going to be with Chris Sununu, and again, we're standing by as soon as the verdict, the jurors come into the courtroom in Minneapolis. We'll switch there and take the verdict live. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Between the news, appointment TV, and endless scrolling on our phones, we're looking at screens more than ever. But how do you rest your eyes without feeling totally unplugged? By putting in a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds and listening to something great. Whether you're listening to your favorite podcast, binging an audiobook, or working out to a pumped-up playlist, Raycons are built to perform anywhere and anytime. With water and sweat-resistant construction and seamless Bluetooth pairing, there are no dangling wires or white stems to worry about. Raycons offer a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look in a variety of colorways for maximum style. And with 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug for a while. The best part? Raycon wireless earbuds start at half the price of the other premium audio brands, so you can pick up a pair and a spare. Right now, get 15% off Raycons at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buy, B-U-Y, raycon.com/Howie for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're awaiting the verdict in the Derek Chauvin case out in Minnesota. And it usually takes a while. They said it was going to be at 4:30, but most of these cases, it takes longer. So we're going to interview. We had this already set up, and we're happy to have him with us, is Governor Chris Sununu. Governor Sununu, will you understand we'll have to switch if we... But I just want to say, I want to thank you. I know it's not a total victory for the people of New England, and you know many of the cities and towns still have these mask mandates. But thank you for lifting the state mask mandate in New Hampshire.
Well, sure. Look, the victory is the fact that we've dropped the fatality rate 95% in just the last couple months. We're among the fastest in the country to get the vaccine out, and that's really what's driving this. It's all the data-driven decisions, and again by lifting the mask mandate and then obviously all the other business restrictions going away in just a couple weeks here, it really opens up a ton of opportunity for an awesome summer, and we're going to have a great summer. It's New Hampshire. We're going to have a booming summer, and it's weird. It's already May, right? We're kind of almost there, so people
almost.
Are excited. They're coming, and again, we've just done. I just have an awesome team here. We've done a great job getting the vaccine out, and we get to reap the benefits of that a little bit.
Now, some of the listeners and viewers are frustrated because they were excited like all of us were when you announced this, but the mask mandate was going away. But they live in cities or towns where the mayor or the town administrator still has a mask mandate in effect. If you, like Concord, for instance, where you're probably calling from right now, right? I mean,
that's right. Yeah, local control. Look, we are a local control state, and pre-pandemic, cities and towns have always had the ability to put in certain stipulations for public health, and that continues during the pandemic. It'll continue after the pandemic. So, you know, if that's what they want to do and that's their choice, then it is their choice. We've never stepped on those toes. Private businesses, right? I mean, Walmart, my guess, is going to have a mask mandate for a long time, or McDonald's, or whatever it might be. Folks have the ability to manage themselves. That's the whole point of not having big government from the state level come down and with an iron hammer and force it on folks. So we're taking the steps we need to take at the state level, but you know, we're a local control state, limited government, local control, low taxes, all that kind of good stuff that makes up the New Hampshire advantage.
Have you talked to any of the mayors of the big cities that still have the mask mandates, like Concord, Portsmouth, et cetera?
Yeah. I talk to a handful of the mayors all the time. And again, they, you know, some of them are college towns, so they're nervous about the college students because some of them aren't. They're kind of the last in line because they're the youngest crowd to be fully vaccinated.
And the least in danger.
Well, yeah, then that's exactly right. And that's why, you know, we all our schools are open 5 days a week as of yesterday. We opened every single school across the state, which is great. And one thing I just tell them is, look, you can have local mandates in place. That's your right to do so, but what's your end game, right? We look at data. We don't make decisions on political whims or, you know, putting our finger up into the wind. What's the data you're going to use to get out of it? You always have to have an end game here, and so that's just the one area where I caution folks. I think within a month or two, the cases are going to be incredibly low. The fatality rate's going to keep being, you know, one or two fatalities a day tops. I think we're just going to be in such a much better place. I said you got to think to the future, not just look at what's immediately in front of you.
Now, have you spoken to the governor of Massachusetts or the governor of Maine about this? They're kind of dead-enders, as Donald Rumsfeld used to say about Saddam Hussein supporters.
Yeah, I talked to Governor Baker. I talked to Governor Scott in Vermont. I have not talked to Governor Mills in about a week and a half. What
did your fellow Republicans, Baker and Scott, say?
Well, you know, there's different dynamics in Massachusetts and Vermont, and so not just the political dynamics of it, but, you know, different data. We have a much lower fatality rate than you find in Massachusetts. Vermont's case numbers are still going pretty aggressively. So, again, I don't criticize other governors for how they handle the pandemic. Every state is so different. It's not Republican or Democrat. So
My hair's on fire about the whole thing.
Well, look, I can just speak for New Hampshire. Our data is great. Our vaccine administration is super fast. And as you know, as of yesterday, if you're in Massachusetts, you can come up and get a vaccine in New Hampshire. I mean, we're one of the first places in the country. We're taking out of staters to get the vaccine. That's how fast we've been with it. And that's one of the reasons we can just be a little more flexible than other states. So I get a little, you know, people want to compare things to DeSantis, what's going on in Florida, or Gavin Newsom in California, or Charlie, or myself. I mean, every state's different. And so, you know, we don't talk about why are you doing this or that. We sometimes compare notes on data and some of the tricks we use to get the vaccine out quickly.
We're speaking to Governor Chris Sununu in New Hampshire, who became the first New England governor to end the mask mandate statewide. When do you think who will be the next governor in New England or the Northeast to end the mask mandate in your humble opinion?
I think Connecticut. It looks like Connecticut came out with something. You know, it's one of those things where regionally, when one state goes, it, you know, kind of creates a domino effect for other states. And I think Connecticut might be coming out with removing theirs in just a few weeks. I don't know about Maine, and I think Massachusetts and Vermont are on a little more of a longer time scale. But I'm really not 100% sure. You know, they just have to kind of look at their data and make their decisions. It's not New York, I'll tell you that. You know, out of the Northeast states, it ain't going to be New York. Ain't going to be the next.
You saw Governor Cuomo said yesterday that arguably New York did the best job of any state in the union. That's not what the stats say, is it, Governor?
Oh my goodness, no. Again, I'm going to do my best not to criticize, but I think it's the issues within, the Big Apple there are well documented. Let's just say that they are well documented, and I can imagine any of the citizens in New York would be very frustrated with the results, given where they are with the pandemic. So,
are you running for the Senate against Maggie Hassan next year?
What's that? I couldn't hear you.
Are you running for the Senate?
I know. No, look, I don't know. I something I had not considered before. I'm leaving the door a little bit open, but we're almost through the pandemic. I got a budget to pass, some legislation I got to work with. So I got my hands full for the next 2 or 3 months. I'll make that decision this summer. I will. I know that I have to decide what I'm doing so everyone else kind of figures out where it all falls in line. But the door's open. But, you know, I'm a governor. I love being a governor. I love being an executive. The Senate and Congress, both sides, House and Republican, they don't do anything. They don't do anything, and no one can claim any sort of moral high ground on that aspect. I think there's hypocrites on both sides. I think they all talk out of both sides of their mouth, and too many of them are more, you know, revved up on how to get on TV every night than actually getting something done. And as a governor who's like been through the grind and just is always trying to create opportunities, sounds really boring to me. So I don't know. Being the 51st vote, I got to tell you, to stop some of this craziness that we never thought would happen, you know, there's an incredible importance to that. And so that's something one of the reasons I guess I am considering it, because I don't think any of us thought what is coming out of Washington would have ever happened. But here we are. And it just takes one person to stand up in D.C. and say enough is enough. And maybe if I can be that person, maybe it's something to consider.
Wow, that sounds like like you're leaning in that direction. Did you tell me once, or did I read that your wife was not too crazy about going to D.C.?
Oh, my wife hates what I do. Are you kidding? Valerie's too smart. She grew up in inner city Chelsea, Mass. She is too smart to like politics. And God bless her. She keeps me very grounded, as she should. But it's really hard. Public life is very hard on the family. And I knew that growing up. But, you know, even when I grew up and my dad was governor, we didn't have social media or just what you see now. This people just cross boundaries. They take things to the nth level on both sides, to the nth level. The fact that we we had protests outside my house with my family, completely unnecessary, and that kind of stuff. It's really crossing a boundary that should have never been crossed. And so, yeah, that affects family members in all aspects of public life. And my wife doesn't, you know, when you're a first lady, you have to kind of stay quiet and you can't say what you want to say. But she grew up in Chelsea, and you know, like anyone in Chelsea, she. You know, she has a lot of pride, and she's a fighter. She wants to push back, but it's hard to kind of refrain during those times when people are being so personal.
We have a new affiliate today in New Mexico. They don't know what you're talking about with Chelsea. I'll explain it to you someday, New Mexico, what it's like, what Chelsea is like. Hey, how about the lawsuit against the state of Massachusetts? They're still grabbing income taxes out of people from New Hampshire. You've been joined by a bunch of different states, and I'm, even though I'm still technically a Massachusetts resident for a few more months, I'm with you 100%, and so are most people in Massachusetts. Tell us why you're suing the Commonwealth.
Yeah, look, people that have been working remotely haven't used a single utility or service or road or glass of water or whatever out of Massachusetts. They're still paying income tax like they are. Massachusetts is going to grab them, even though they work completely remotely. Well, that's obviously, you know, it violates the Constitution in a variety of ways. A lot of states have joined us in the lawsuit against it, against the state, and I think we'll win. The Supreme Court has to decide whether to take it up, and that literally should happen. We'll know whether they decide or not in the next couple weeks, but all indicators are that they're going to take it up, and we feel very confident going forward. You can't be it's one thing to grab another state's income tax, but we don't even have income tax. You know, people ask us for income tax. We have to ask for a definition of what that really means. We don't even understand those concepts here. You know?
What happens if Massachusetts passes the so-called millionaires tax next year and basically doubles the income tax sooner or later on everybody in the state? What's that going to do for New Hampshire?
Well, I got to tell you, my real estate market can't get any hotter, but you're going to see people flooding into this state left and right, as they already are from California and Minnesota and New York, Illinois. I mean, the real estate market can't get any hotter here. People are buying homes sight unseen for twice their value. Businesses are coming here left and right. We've become... if anything, COVID has let us really stand out from the crowd a little bit more. And unfortunately, you know, whatever's going on in Massachusetts, you know, the TCI stuff, they're still pushing TCI down there with this gas tax. You know what?
Yeah. I know.
Every border town is going to you're going to lose all the business in Massachusetts on every border town to New Hampshire, because everyone's going to be coming up here for not they're already coming for groceries and DraftKings and cheaper
and Newports.
Alcohol. Now they're going to be coming up for Newports, but now they're going to be coming up just for the gas. It's going to be
right. You
know, not just a few dimes different. You're talking huge differences, and that makes a big difference in commuters' lives. There's no doubt.
Yeah. New Mexico, I'll explain TCI to you, too, but you better pull over to the side of the road before I explain TCI, because we can't even believe it in Massachusetts and most of the other states. Governor Chris Sununu, we really appreciate you being with us. And again, thank you for doing this, and you're getting the ball rolling. We got to get back to a normal existence here, and we appreciate it.
Without a doubt. This is the path. Thanks so much for the time, Howie.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you. Thanks. That's Governor Chris Sununu of New Hampshire. He sounds like he's leaning towards running against Maggie Hassan, and you heard his campaign, which is... you know, stop the madness, get a 51st Republican in there. Last summer, I had a dental emergency, and where did I go? Perfect Smiles. I've said this before, but was reminded again of what a perfectionist Dr. Houghton is. He is a veneer engineer and a world-class dental artist. Being on TV, it's important that I look my best. Dr. Houghton did that for me, and he can do it for you, too. We're in a climate right now where a lot of people don't want to go into the city. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire, and parking is free. I was impressed to see all the state-of-the-art safety protocols they have taken since the virus. You'll feel safe and confident when you visit Perfect Smiles. Believe it or not, many of these protocols make it a more pleasant experience to visit the dentist, and you definitely do not want to let your dental health decline in this mess that we're in right now, because it'll lead to pain, it'll lead to great expenses. You just don't need it. And especially when it's so easy to get to Nashua, New Hampshire. And now there's so many more reasons to go there, too. To see for yourself and to get your perfect smile, call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. Dr. Bruce Houghton's the best dentist I've ever seen, the best dentist that's ever worked on my mouth. You can see for yourself, and you can also see my video at PerfectSmiles.com. Perfect Smiles, change your smile, change your life. I'm Howie Carr.
Got hate mail? You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
Send it off to Grace at HowieCarshow.com. And now, back to the cheap bastard from up north.
Maine, where he's from?
Around Portland, I think. And like most real Yankees, he knows how to nurse a dollar.
He's Howie Carr.
Nothing wrong with being able to nurse a dollar, I don't think. 844-500-4242-561. I hope he runs against Hassan. She's been an embarrassment to us. The New Hampshire way is not hysteria. Remember, two of her staff went to jail for doxing Republicans and another young. Yeah, did they go to jail or did they just get fired? But they were. It was a mess. She was a mess. That was a bad situation. But I think the best campaign theme that he can have is just stopping the madness. I mean, we're on the borderline with the abolition of the Electoral College, changing the census, the electoral reform. I mean, all these things. It's just terrible what they're proposing. They've just wrecked everything in a short amount of time. We still await the verdict, and we'll switch to it as soon as it comes in, unless we're to break at the top of the hour. But in the meantime, you can give us a call and get on the show, 844-500-4242. Chris, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, Howie, this whole trial reminds me of that scene in Young Frankenstein with the local captain played by, I think you remember, Kenneth Mars, where he says, hanging is an ugly thing, but it's about time we had one. And that's sort of what this whole thing reminds me of. I mean, where we are headed with the President of the United States rooting for an outcome is really unprecedented. Of course, this is what they accused Trump of on January 6th, of which there was no trail of anything he said that could incite anything. Yet here we have members of Congress at age 82 whisking themselves out into a riot scene and a doddering president. Maybe he'll root for Scopes in the Scopes trial. What do you think?
I think he voted for William Jennings Bryan when he was for maybe at least the 1908 presidential run. This is the Scopes monkey trial, as they called it in Tennessee. It really is something. What's going on in this trial, and it's going to be interesting to see how bad it's going to be. I mean, I think that's the only question: is how bad is it going to be? And I think that woman, you just heard her from Minnesota earlier, and she was talking about how a lot of these people that are getting ready to riot, these are not oppressed inner city blacks. These are Antifa white kids. If you look at the arrests when the Portland Police Department in Oregon has gotten into posting the mugshots of all these people, and they just look like the kind of group you see sleeping on the Cambridge Common on Sunday morning. They're just they don't have jobs, they don't have prospects, they have tattoos on their neck, and they're just looking for trouble. And that's what they're looking forward to tonight. I mean, look at the people that Kyle Rittenhouse killed in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I mean, one of them was a five-time convicted pederast. He was raping young boys. The other one was an ex-con. They were just and they're portrayed in the mainstream media as heroes. They were just drifters and troublemakers, and they were white. They were white. A lot of the people rioting tonight will be white. I dare say, maybe most of them. I don't know. Hopefully, there is no rioting. I hope. I'll use Joe Biden's word, I pray, but I'm not confident, and neither are you. Ben, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, Howie. You know how Joe Biden has stuck his nose in this case?
Yes.
Do you remember when Barack Obama stuck his nose in the Trayvon Martin case and said, if I had a son?
Yeah, he would look like him, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really point a lot of this angst and anger towards that. And you know, these presidents should not be sticking their noses in this thing. But Barack Obama did the same exact thing there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is worse, though, because this is more of a national case even than Trayvon Martin, and certainly more than the Cambridge Police Acted Stupidly case. I mean, this is something he had no business getting involved in, and so somebody should have told him. I mean, we all know he's not all there, but somebody has to tell him, and it's not going to be Kamala Harris, because she doesn't have a real good grasp on what's appropriate and what's not. But somebody has to be in there. There has to be an adult at the White House, even when they're doing what they're doing to the country. I'm Howie Dark.